I've asked Courtney to come up and read Who is an Addict.
My name is Courtney and I'm an addict.
Hi, Courtney.
Who is an addict? Most of us do not have to think twice about this question. We know. Our whole life and thinking was centered around drugs in one form or another, the getting and using and finding ways and means to get more. We live to use and use to live. Very simply, an addict is a man or a woman whose life is controlled by drugs. We are people in the grip of a continuing and progressive illness whose ends are always the same: jails, institutions, and death.
Thanks, Courtney.
Okay. I'm sharing this workshop with a lady named Brandy, and I'm going to ask her to come on up and share her experience, strength, and hope.
Hey, Brandy! Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, well, my name's Brandy, and I'm an addict.
I'm Brandy.
When I came here this weekend, I was not expecting to share in a workshop. When I checked in, they asked if anybody would be willing to be of service and chair a meeting. I'm like, sure, I will. Well, I guess they need somebody to do this. So I'm like, I was told when I first got in the program that if you're asked, Narcotics Anonymous asks you to do something, you don't say no. So here I am. I'm from Illinois, from Rockford, Illinois. So this is my first Miracles Convention, which I'm very excited. Yeah. I came into the program in 2018. My clean date is May 13th, and I've kept that clean date. You know, I've had the last 15 months have been extremely rough. My husband and I met in 1998. I was 14 and he was 16, and we were together for almost 24 years. In October of 2021, he went to work and an aneurysm ruptured in his brain and it killed him instantly. And you know, when the first time I did my step one, that question, like, what are your reservations? What is something that you won't be able to make it through clean? And I put that, losing my husband or something happening to one of my children. And when in that moment that the cop said that he was dead, like everything went, you know, it was like my life flashed before my eyes, but then the complete universe stood still in that moment. And I was like, what the fuck am I gonna do? I've got four kids. He was our provider. I stayed home with the kids. He let me do what I needed to do for my recovery. He was also an addict, but he really didn't care for the program. But I needed it in order for me to stay clean. And he allowed me to do, even though he wasn't, and I realized why he didn't want to go to meetings, because he was using the whole time. And I just didn't know that he had relapsed. He said he was going to the slots, which is, you can lose a lot of money doing that too. But he didn't want to go to meetings because he was still using all that time. You know, I threw myself back into the program. I went to 90 meetings in 90 days. I contacted my sponsor. I started over on my steps. And I got on a deeper level with my higher power. Like, when I first got into the program, the sponsor I had at the time, you know, said that my higher power needed to be God, and I needed, and that's what I needed in order to get clean. And at that time, like, who am I to argue? Like, she's been in the program for 20 years, and I have no idea. I just got here. So I did what she said. But it just wasn't working. Like, I was still miserable. I I didn't feel comfortable. I was still working my program. I was still doing, going to meetings, but that inner peace was not there. I didn't feel a connection to, and I hear it in meetings all the time, everybody share the kind of connection that they have with their higher power. And it's like, I didn't feel that. And it's like, what, is there something wrong with me? But then I switched sponsors after my husband died, and I that was the best thing I could have done, because the sponsor that I have today, she's an amazing woman, and it gave me permission to search for what my higher power is, the view that I have, what I need in my life, and by doing that, I have found my higher power is more feminine based. And it's so hard to put into words, but I have that internal connection with her, and I knew in that moment that I was going to be okay. My world turned upside down, and these past 15 months have been extremely difficult, but because of the program of Narcotics Anonymous and the women that I have in my network and my higher power and service work, I've been able to stay clean, and I have not had to pick up. And I've had, my family, they're like waiting, she's gonna fucking use, she's gonna use. And then I have my Narcotics Anonymous family who are like, you got this, you don't have to use. Whatever you need, we're there. And I was like, I refuse to let those people count me out before, it's like, fuck you, I'm not gonna use, and I will show you, and I haven't. But I can say honestly that if I wasn't ingrained into the program, I wouldn't be standing here today. Narcotics Anonymous has saved my life on multiple occasions. And now, trying to live life, I'm not good with change. I don't think any of us are. And I had a view of what my life was going to be. And in that, the moment that he died, like, all of that was taken away. And now I have to navigate raising my children the rest of the way on my own. Everything in my life is different since he died. And it's like trying to get used to all of those things. I mean, there are some days where I cannot even get out of bed. But because of my network, like, it's okay, I don't have to get out of bed. I felt like at first, like I've had so many people like, come on, like, you're such an inspiration. And I had like, I put this pressure on myself, like, I have to have my shit together. I cannot be, so I went to meetings, and are you okay? Yep, I'm fine. I've never been one to ask for help. It's like, I don't say that I'm, I wouldn't say what was going on. I just said, yep, I'm fine. And then after like 8 months, I was dying inside. And I went to a meeting and I just broke down, because I couldn't go on and acting like everything was okay and that nothing was wrong. I needed help. And as soon as I took it to a meeting, I brought it up as a topic, and I cried harder than I probably have in a long time. And it's like, I am not okay. And I felt like, because if I said that I wasn't okay, that I was doing something wrong. I was handling it wrong. Like, I needed to be okay. I needed to, I have to be there for my children. I don't want them to see me struggling, because then they're going to worry. And I can't, but then it's like, I can't be good to anybody else if I'm not taking care of myself. And in the moment that I took it to the meeting and I broke down and I said that I'm not okay, like, as long as I don't pick up and I don't harm myself, it doesn't matter how I'm dealing with it. I could be a blubbering mess, screaming at the world, not showering for days, but as long as I don't pick up and I don't harm myself, I'm doing it the right way. Because really there is no right or wrong way. When something traumatic happens in our life, we just have to do the next right thing, which whatever it is, how, you know, what I'm going through, somebody who's going through the same thing, it's still not the same thing because we are different people. And so for myself, I've had to, the program is what saved my life. It really has. And honestly, service work. I'm a service junkie. I have been since I started the program. When I got into the program, like, I tried to do the at home by myself, didn't go anywhere for the first 3 months of my recovery, and that wasn't working. So I finally listened and I came to Narcotics Anonymous, and then I never left. But I had over 90 days clean, so I automatically was able to start chairing a meeting from where I'm from. And then when I had 6 months, I became alternate secretary at the home group that I was at that time. And then, you know, as soon as I got the clean time requirement, so right now I am GSR for my home group. I chaired a meeting there once a month, two meetings at another group in our area that is struggling with trying to keep the doors open. I'm H&I coordinator and H&H for Rock Rivers Area Convention. And honestly, service work is what's keeping me clean, because but I'm a people pleaser too. So I like to help and do things. So if I can give back to the program that has given me so much and has given my life back, then that's what I'm gonna do. In order to keep the doors open, there are so many things that happen behind the scenes, and being able to help keep the door open for that still suffering addict or the addict that doesn't know about us, in order for them to have a chance at life, I feel like I have to do my part and do whatever Narcotics Anonymous needs. And I think that's about all I've got.
Awesome, Brandy! Yeah!
I came with notes. My name's Kat and I'm an addict. Lots of people in here. And women power. Ladies. I just want to start out by saying that I could relate a lot to Brandy's story. I too have lost. And relied on the powers in my program to get me through those. And thank God, because if I was left to my own devices, God knows what would happen. First of all, I'd like to thank the committee. I'm really grateful that they asked me. It was like, holy shit, they asked me. And I was really honored. I don't share a lot of at functions and stuff. I do share at my home group. But it's been a while since I've talked to anybody like this anyway. I was trying to figure out what I wanted to talk about. You know, women's rap is about women's issues. And I thought maybe the spiritual principles might be a good idea in how I apply them in my life. And the first thing I really want to talk about is faith, because if it wasn't for faith, I wouldn't be here. When I first came into the program 30 years ago, there's more to that story, ladies, wait. I didn't believe in higher power. I believed in myself and myself only. I'm a survivor, and it was up to me to get me through whatever consequences or things that happened in my life. And so the concept of a higher power for me was very distant until the day that a person came up to me and said, "There is a God and you're not it." I mean, slam in my face. And I had to think about that for a few minutes because I had relied on myself for so many years. And I was brought up very Catholic. My parents were very religious, or my mother was, I should say that. So that was the only concept that I had of a higher power. And I learned in parochial school that if you don't do what God says, you're going to hell. You know? And that scared the hell out of me. It really did, because, I mean, it's an unknown entity. I didn't know, you know, what it was or where it was. And I just knew I didn't want to go there. So that's what I worked on early in recovery, is believing that I had a higher power. And I had a sponsor that was kind enough to tell me that it can be anything that I needed it to be at that given moment. And I was so happy about that because I chose the color green. Green can't hurt me. You know, I didn't have to worry about being let down. I didn't have to worry about not being good enough. I just want to let you know that over the years, it's changed from the color green to this very cool interpersonal relationship that I have with the power greater than myself. And I am very fortunate that I have that. Faith has gotten me through a lot of shit. I too had something happen to me about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years. And that's when my husband was in a serious motorcycle accident and lost his limb. They thought he was going to die. I thought he was going to die. I was like 2 minutes behind him in traffic, so I didn't see the accident, but I saw my husband laying there in a puddle of blood, and that was not okay. I am so grateful that my husband's higher power saw fit to help him through this, you know. What a transition it was from going to from an independent woman to a caretaker all of a sudden, and he needed help with everything he did, you know, and I did that gratefully. I met him in the program. It was after I swore off men, and I worked on myself for 18 months solid. I didn't date. I didn't do anything. I just hung out with women, and I really think that that's what saved my life. Somebody approached me one time and says, "Well, what do you have to offer him?" You know, when I was early in recovery, what do you have to offer him? The only thing we really have to offer them is sex. Because how much do we really know about ourselves in early recovery? You know, I mean, I know I'm a different person than I was back then. Man, that was wild. Now he's independent again. So I had to go through another transition on learning how to be that independent woman again. And I tell you, that's been a lot harder for me than I thought it was going to. I mean, I can remember sitting there in the house days and days and days going, "God, I can't wait to get my life back. I love this man, don't get me wrong, but I was missing part of me, you know?" And Then when it was given back to me, it was like, holy shit, what do I do with this? You know? And little by little, I'm getting out there and I'm doing things again. And I'm interacting with other women on a regular basis. I live in the UP, a little town called Iron River, Michigan. And I moved there 13 years ago to get out of the chaos of the city. I got all wrapped up in the chaos of the city. And I relapsed. I had a person in my life that committed suicide. I untied her. I suffered PTSD. I didn't know what that was. And I picked up. Because cat's always been okay. It was very humiliating at 21 years to relapse. But I think today I'm grateful for that moment, or that period of time, I should say, because it's taught me so much more about who I am as a woman, you know, what I have to offer other people. My life was busy, don't get me wrong. I've always been involved in service work since I got clean. You know, I was listening to Brandy, and it's kind of like the same thing, you know. I mean, I was 6 months, no drugs when I first came into the program. I was driving myself crazy. I didn't know how to function without using, because I had used for so many years. And then all of a sudden, I hear about this NA program, and I decide, okay, I'm going to give it a try. Changed my life. I'll never forget the first day I walked in. Everybody was laughing, and I was wondering what was going on. I thought I was going to a party. I really did. Because everybody seemed so happy. And I walked in, and my miserable self had expectations. I don't know if any of you guys ever had struggled with expectations, but I have lots of expectations. And I figured that this was going to be the cure. You know, I figured that by osmosis, these changes were going to happen, and I wasn't going to use anymore. That's not exactly the way it worked. No. A lady walked up to me, and she gave me this big hug, and she got into my space. And I punched her. That was my first NA meeting. That lady became my sponsor. I figured if she could tackle me, then maybe she could help me. And I had that sponsor for like 7-8 years, and we became close, and she taught me a lot about life. She's the one that encouraged me to get into a relationship with my husband because he was a good dude. I didn't know him from Adam, you know. My people, when I was using, was very selective. And I always said that that kept me safe, you know. That's not what kept me safe. My higher power kept me safe. But she taught me that I could stand up by myself. You know, she was involved with my life in that 18 months when I was celibate, when I was swearing off men, when I was learning that I didn't need a man to make me complete. And I did a lot of decepting of myself. I really did. I mean, my mom and dad were very traditional. And, you know, my dad was the breadwinner. My mom took care of us 6 kids, and I thought that's the way life was supposed to be, you know? Never in my wildest dreams did I know that there's so much more to that. Being a wife and being a parent is hard work, you know? Conversations, communication, emotional stability is just unbelievable. So I came into acceptance that I have a disease I was really glad to learn I had that disease instead of that moral deficiency, like they say in the Blue Book. But for a while there, I think I blamed it. Or not blamed it, but used it as a crutch. You know, I have this disease, so you have to, you have to forgive me for all the shit that I've done. You know, I wasn't being accountable. You know, that's just a little part of my early recovery. I wasn't accountable. But people kept loving me till I came back. And like I said, I wasn't clean 6 months and I was involved in service, you know. And that has been a mainstay in my recovery, in my life for the last 30 years. I still went to meetings when I relapsed. Because I believed that my higher power had something better for me. And he did. He got me into a PTSD program that helped me to deal with the death of this lady. And actually, it's helped me to deal with a lot of things because my dad died when I was still using. And when we're using, we don't feel... or I didn't feel. And so at that point in my recovery, I started grieving my dad's death. You know, so I had like double whammies going on and couldn't figure out why. You know, I learned a long time ago that I don't need to know why. I just need to accept. I'm an addict. I have addictive behaviors. They're always going to be there. It's what I do with them that counts. You know, if I can learn as much as I can about them and try not to act on them, then I'm going to be a better person. But I'd be lying if I said I didn't sit, you know, I didn't sit in, like, the hallway today and check people out and go, I've been there. I wonder when they're not, you know. And that's one of my addictive behaviors is comparison, because I never felt good enough. I never felt accepted. I always thought that I needed to be a token for a man. Again, my mom taught me that. When my dad passed away, they were 52 years old, and my mom was still young. And she had 6 kids, and, you know, a lot like Brandy's story. And it was like she never dated. She stopped going out with her girlfriends. She made us her life, basically. And with that comes, let's just say my mom liked to know that people did what she told them to. We'll say that. So when I started using, she was like beside herself. You know, what did I do to deserve this? It's like, what the hell? This is me. This is my life. And it took a lot of years being in recovery to get to a point where I could understand where she was coming from. I mean, that's the age she grew up in. That's what was expected of them when they were growing up, you know? And so my mom and I became very, very close at the end of our relationship. My brother, my youngest brother, has Down syndrome. And like I said, there's 6 of us kids. And with my parents both gone right now, we've been lucky enough to establish a working relationship where we take turns taking care of my brother. Every 3 weeks I travel down by Oshkosh, Ripon area, and I take care of my brother for a weekend. I bring him up north by me for, you know, a couple weeks in the summer. And I really think that it's those things that Mom taught me and us when we were younger that kept our family so close together. We're very close-knit. I talk to my sisters on a regular basis. I have
a brother that I'm pretty close to. I have another brother that I'm not so close to. And then Peter. You know, Peter's my man. And that's where acceptance came in. You know, acceptance to meet him where he's at any given time. He has Alzheimer's now. And so he's more difficult to take care of. I think this program has taught me the patience to help with that. I've never been one with patience. I always thought if somebody was going to do something, they should do it. Better yet, I'll do it because that way I know it's done right. Yeah, I struggled a lot. I got in the way of myself a lot early in recovery. Something I do want to talk about is the open-mindedness that I needed to have. I was very closed-minded. Sometimes I can still be closed-minded, to be honest with you. It's one of my character defects. But this program has taught me to meet people where they're at, you know. I came in here early today, and I had a really nice conversation with this lady, one of the Megans in this room. And it was really cool. You know, it really set me at ease. So I thanked my higher power for bringing her into my life because I was nervous before coming here. You know, so thank you again. And accepting that friendship and being open and honest, I think it benefits both parties. My recovery has not always been real easy. Again, I get in the way of myself a lot. But today my life is very serene. Today my life is very comfortable. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing on any given day, but I thank God, you know, I thank my God for another day. My husband and I are both in recovery. We work separate programs, so what goes on in his life, I don't know. We do go to one meeting a week together. When we moved up to Iron River, there was only one meeting up there. And between him and I, we opened up two more meetings. So there's three meetings a week in that little town now. And so one's mine, one's his, and one's ours. I was talking with Megan about children. You know, I have four boys. My youngest one was five when I got clean. So a lot of his behaviors and mannerisms were already formed. I think I upset their apple cart too when I got into recovery because they're recovery babies. I didn't take them to meetings, but every function I went to, they were there. You know, and I can remember them looking forward to it. My boys aren't addicts. Well, I think one is, but that's not for me to judge, right? but he currently doesn't use. He just has a lot of same mannerisms that I have. That's my ride. He's my baby. So I point him out when I see him because I can. I'm his mom. And it's like, that got me in trouble when I thought like that, you know? So I'm really grateful that I had the benefit of raising my kids in recovery. They know both sides of the street, unfortunately. Something happened. I had always wanted a girl, and I remember when Ryan was born, my baby, I cried. I wept. I wanted a girl so bad, and I remember knowing that I was done. You know, I had four. I have enough. and Oh, my husband and I were married probably 6-7 years. No, probably more close to 10. And my middle son got a girl pregnant, and she didn't want to be a mama. She's not maternal. And she walked into our house one day, and she handed the baby to my husband and said, "Here, you take her. I don't want her." And I'm over here going, "Thank you, God." You know, I got my girl, you know. Boy, girls are hard. Oh, my God. I don't know if it's because I had my boys close together that they just always had that camaraderie and they played with themselves. But Haley demands and still demands attention. She's not the most socially involved lady, so she's very much a homebody. But she knows what she wants when she wants it. So I've gotten some of that back threefold with her. She too was brought up in recovery. She's at home babysitting the dogs this weekend so we could be here. The dogs are Vince's and my kids. And Haley's my kid. And she just recently turned 18. She's going to graduate, and we're going to have an empty nest someday, you know? I mean, I don't think it's going to be in the near future because she's such a homebody, but my expectations of her, I have to hold back a little. You know, she's learning disabled. I shouldn't say that. She's been labeled by the school as learning disabled, but she's really smart. She's just not academically smart. Besides loving her to death, we have a really cool friendship. My bonds with the ladies here have gotten really strong over the years. I got a new sponsor and worked the program after I relapsed and went into that PTSD program and learned that I'm not as fucked up as I thought I was. Yesterday was a really hard day for me. I don't know. My people close to me know. My son died 8 years ago yesterday, and I was so grateful I was here because I was feeling so out of sorts. And, you know, grieving and wishing he were here, and his son looks exactly like him, and why can't I have my son? You know, the poor me's. That's exactly where I was yesterday. My friends didn't have any expectations on me. They just loved me till I get through it, you know? He died of an epileptic seizure, and I found him in my basement. I suppose that would contribute to some PTSD too. However, I had already learned how to cope with some of that, so I didn't have the trauma of that as much as I had the trauma of losing my baby. You know, he was my oldest son. I prayed my ass off yesterday, and I made it today, you know? And that's all I can do is I can put one foot in front of the other and let God do the navigating. Because if I get in my way, nothing happens. Last thing I want to talk about is friendship. You know, I had lots of friends when I was using, or so I thought. I just had what they wanted. When I got clean, I lost all my friends. They branded me a narc or whatever. And didn't interact with me for a long period of time. It was crazy because some of those were family members that I used with, you know, who have since stopped using. I don't know how they did that on their own. I had to rekindle relationships, and talking about trying to rekindle relationships with somebody who was the enemy was really difficult for me. I still struggle with that from time to time. I have a very close-knit group of friends, and I can call them about anything. There's a few people in this room today, and I have a best friend. I never had a best friend growing up. Yep, raise your hand, Gracie. Gracie asked me to sponsor her a number of years ago, and I knew when I met her that it was going to be more than just sponsorship. And over the years, she's become my sister. I'm closer with Gracie than I am with my biological family, and my biological family is close. So maybe it's a mesh, I don't know. But whatever it is, it works. You know, she can call me on my shit, and I don't retaliate as a rule. And and I can call her on her shit, and she doesn't retaliate as a rule. Yesterday, I asked her a simple question, and I asked her if I was high maintenance, because I was watching these people at the restaurant, and she goes, "Well, you are now." And I wanted to punch her, but the truth is, you know, they gave me something to look at. It gave me something to, you know, examine in my life, and I'm really grateful for that, because, damn it, I'm going to look at it. I don't want to be like that. I want to be a friend without expectations, with not having my nose up in the air. So I don't know if this all made a lot of sense, but I really appreciate you sitting here and listening. Balance is what it's all about, ladies, for me anyway, and knowing that at any given time it can shift for a while, I still have my higher power that can help me get me back on track, and the help of my friends, because they tell me what I need to hear. I'm really grateful to be an addict today. I'm grateful to have the life that I have, and I want to thank everybody for being here. We're going to close this meeting with a reading. What did I give you just for today? Yeah. This is Ternice, one of my grand sponsees. So was Courtney before. And this just for today is the first thing that I remember from my very first meeting, and it's what I try to live. Thank you.
I'm Ternice, I'm an addict.
Hi, Ternice.
And I just want to say thank you all for sitting here and listening to these two beautiful recovering addicts. We truly are a room full of miracles. And if you guys know just for today, please say it loud, say it proud, say it strong like the independent women we are, and let's out scream the men. Lack of manners over there. Just for today, tell yourself, self, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me with my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, through NA. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Sorry, y'all. New associations, people who are not using and who found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear.